Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you for the next 3 hours here on this Saturday afternoon. Before I pack my bags and get on the road and head to Stamford, Connecticut for the big pickleball match between Amani Toomer and I and Rick DiPietro and Dave Rothenberg. We've got our producers, Tom and Harvey, who are along for the ride for the next 3 hours. Gentlemen, what's the buzz? Is there a vibe? Is there a buzz? Is there an excitement around the station with this ultimate match that's taking place tomorrow around 12:30 at Pickleball America?
Sure, let's go with that. A big old buzz. Yep. A lot of hype. A lot of excitement.
I'm still stuck on Tom, Harvey and who?
Yeah, who's Tom?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
sorry.
It's all name. Good. I'm going to need
It's all
name.
Good.
It's Joe.
We'll take a quick 30.
Tom is...
Tom's tomorrow.
Tom is Sundays. Sorry. It is Joe and Harvey who are producing the show, of course. So has, like, this week, has there been a lot of talk? Like, or is Rick and Dave, like, talking a lot of smack? Is there, like, I just want to know what Amani and I are walking into tomorrow.
You guys are heavy favorites. Heavy, heavy favorites, I believe. All the talk, I think, has been one-sided in terms of who will win it, and it's all been on your guys' side.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on you both.
I can feel it. So when the calls come in, or I could just hear Dave having guests on and then him trying to convince them that him and Rick are going to win. What has been their response when a guest or a caller calls in and says, no, Amani and Anita are going to win? Like, are they taking it in stride? Are they angry? Are they bitter? What's their reaction?
They got to see it to believe it. Because everybody knows Dave by now that he's not... You know, the promo says shapely, sidekick, but, you know, everybody has to, like...
Hey, I will say this, and I know you guys, neither of you really play a lot of pickleball, if at all. I've gotten my ass kicked by, like, an 80-year-old senior citizen who's got one good knee.
Now, why would you admit that for?
Because pickleball isn't about being the most athletic person on the court. It's a small area. Like, you're playing in a very condensed court. It's about paddle control. It's about it's knowledge. It's strategy. It's not all about athleticism or being in the best shape possible. There's a lot of other elements. And I think this is what makes pickleball so great, is that it's not, you know, somebody who is a lot older than you but has been playing pickleball longer than you, or has paddle or tennis experience and knows how to control a paddle where he can get or she can get a certain reaction to the ball, whether it's spin, dinking properly, they will beat you. And I think that's, I think that's what makes the sport so great, is that it's not only just for the young and athletic. So just because Dave might be on the heavier side, and I don't know, I haven't seen... You know, because of COVID and whatnot, you know, as you know, a lot of us, we don't go into the studios. So I haven't seen Rick and Dave in a long time. Like, maybe I haven't seen, I think I've seen Rick in a few events, but I haven't seen Dave out. So I haven't seen Dave in maybe over a year. I know the promo, he's getting slammed because, what did you say, Harvey? What's the description?
A shapely sidekick.
Yeah. So, that I'm that doesn't have a lot of weight. What I want to know is how often do they play? How often do they drill? How often do they practice? And have they practiced together? That's the most important thing. I feel very fortunate. Amani lives a hot skip and a jump from me. So Amani and I have been able to practice two or three times. So I feel that Amani and I have an advantage there because we've practiced together, because you're a team and you need to have a really, really, you and your teammate need to be on the same page. So I feel like that's where Amani and I have the advantage. And then Amani used to play tennis when he was younger. So Amani actually has Amani can spin the ball. Amani has some really good paddle control, which was really surprising to me. I didn't really know what to expect, but Amani is a lot better than what I anticipated. So with all that being said, it's going to be a fun day tomorrow. We're hoping that the majority, we get a lot of our listeners to come out. I know it's a trek, but would really greatly appreciate it if you did make it. Here's a positive. It's indoors. It's apparently two stories. It's supposed to be a huge facility, this Pickleball America there in Stanford, Connecticut. It's supposed to be awesome. And weather is supposed to be horrible, horrific tomorrow. So what are you going to do? Stay inside and, I don't know, watch some Netflix? No, get in the car, come up, bring the family, and, you know, watch Rick and Dave get pickled. That's what I say. So I'm heading up there tonight. I'll be spending the night up there because I have to be up bright and early in the morning for our show from 8 to noon. And then at 12:30, the match begins. From what I understand, it's the best of five. Of course, if Rick and Dave think they could last that long, that's fine. You know, I don't know how much humiliation that they can honestly take. And then I'm going to be playing in a mixed competition with my good friend Tony, and that starts at 2 o'clock. So mixed doubles 3.5 and 4.0 and above start at 2 o'clock. So I'll be participating in that with a few friends. So excited about that. Excited for a really fun day. And then of course tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo. Do you guys celebrate Cinco de Mayo? Like, are you guys like, is it like a must for you to go to a Mexican establishment to get a margarita and maybe some fajitas?
I don't know if it's a must for me to go out, but it's a must for me to have a margarita in some fashion, whether that's going out or making my own.
So two questions. Number one, salt or no salt?
Salt.
And what's your tequila of choice?
I don't have a tequila of choice because, you know, other than a margarita, I don't really enjoy tequila like that.
Okay, I don't either. A lot of my friends drink tequila because they claim it's what keeps them thin. A lot of women, do tequila on the rocks because it doesn't have a lot of calories. And I want to say it's gluten-free. I believe it's gluten-free. But yeah, the only time I drink tequila is some, you know, outrageous exotic cocktail that I get in the city or a margarita. 800-919-3776. John from North Bergen wants to chime in on this pickleball match. We're going to be spending a lot of time today talking about the Knicks. That's right, because... Man, win in advance. Were you scared? If you're scared, say you're scared. Were you scared that maybe the 76ers were going to pull the upset? I wasn't. There were a lot of handicappers that were. I was not. I felt like, wow, no way did the 76ers win in Philadelphia and then come back, had it be, and win again at the Garden. No way they win three in a row against this very resilient Knicks team. But now the 76ers are in the rear view mirror. It's about the Pacers moving forward. Tommy Beer is going to join us. He covers the Knicks. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes. We'll do a deep dive. We'll take your calls. A few questions surrounding this series and also a narrative that's on right now pertaining to Jalen Brunson. And that is, do you look at Jalen Brunson as a legit number one? Because I think it's safe to say, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, love to take your calls, 800-919-3776. The majority of the country does not. I'd say there's less than 50% of the country that looks at Jalen Brunson and says, yeah, you know what? He's an alpha dog. He's a legit one. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. I'll share with you the reasons why I think that's the perception, but it's not my perception. But I think it's the majority perception. And I often wonder if Kyrie was on this team and Brunson was still with Dallas, where would those two teams be right now? I believe that the Knicks would have made it into the top six in the postseason, maybe in the play-in with Kyrie. And I certainly don't think that they would have gotten past the 76ers with Kyrie over Brunson. Am I wrong?
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave and I are not approaching this the way that Anita's approaching this. We want to under-promise and over-deliver. That's what we want to do here. We want them to sleep on Dave's physique. Maybe Dave turns into the Bartolo Colon of pickleball.
I'm not as fat as Colon.
No, what I'm saying, like, you don't look big, sexy. You don't look like a great athlete. All of a sudden, you see that with that, you know, that paddle in your hand.
Well, here's what I would say to you, though. How many times have you played and thought, oh, that person's not going to be great, and you're like, wow, they're really good? Like, I don't think your athleticism really dictates if you're going to be a good pickleball player or not.
No, I don't think it does either, but the less they think of you, the better.
I stink.
You're awful.
I'm awful.
You sent me a video. It was...
They're probably going to win all three games. We won't even have to go to a game 4 or 5. That's my
convincingly
thought
too, probably.
Probably like 11-1, 11-3, something like that. Even if Anita were to pull a quad, they probably still beat us.
I don't love our chances.
I don't love them either.
Hey, I mean, listen. Different than what I was expecting. Like, they're just like, yeah, you know what? We're going to get our butts kicked, and it is what it is, right? I mean, it kind of like sounds like they're not buying into the narrative, but like, I think they see the forest for the trees. It sounds like, right?
I mean,
I think so. 800. Go ahead. I mean, it's like they just said, we're going to win. Like, they're not like, oh, Anita and Amani are so full of themselves. Wait
they
till they get it.
They could just be saying this. And I have a little bit of breaking news.
You do?
We have odds.
Uh-oh.
For this pickleball.
What do you mean odds? ESPN Bet has odds out?
So the ESPN New York Instagram page just put this out 11 minutes ago. And it says the ESPN New York odds makers have spoken. Do you want to guess at how big of a favorite you are tomorrow?
-280.
Close. You are a -300 favorite on the money line, and Dave and Rick are a +225.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. I want to meet these odds makers. I'll take them out for a margarita after the match. Oh, that's funny. Let's go to John in North Bergen. John, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Hi, Anita, Harvey, Jolio. Thank you. I appreciate it. Just want to chime in and, you know, about the Knicks, JB. New York is live at the minute, like everything. The Rangers, Yankees, even the Mets. But you know, New York is popping, and I'm happy as a fan. I love, but number two, I want to wish you good luck. You know, I love you. You know how it's been a while since I've spoken with you, but I always let it be known I'm a Pisces. So, but, you know, and Amani Toomer, as a Giants fan, I love him. There's a story. My brother ran into him at Garden State Plaza Mall, and he was with his daughter, and he approached him, and he asked him for a picture, and Amani said yes. So that was very cool, very nice. But I just want to wish you luck on the pickleball. Like, my last closing, I love all y'all. I love ESPN Radio, but if there was a gun pointed at my head and asked me, like, do you want to pick this team or that team, I would say pull the trigger, because I love all y'all, so I can't pick.
Well, that was very intense and maybe a little too graphic. But thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I didn't quite understand the whole Pisces thing. Did you guys get the Pisces thing?
Honestly, I've been alive, you know, 28 years, almost 29 in November. I could not understand.
I didn't get the Pisces thing.
I just know that I'm a Scorpio. That's really all I know. I don't know who I connect with. I don't know who I relate better with. You know, I just take it day by day. So
you're a Scorpio?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean? What does that mean? You know what? These commentaries are going to sway who I'm picking for tomorrow's thing.
Do you know the attributes of your sign? Like, have you done the research?
No.
You've never looked up. Okay, what are the characteristics you said a Scorpio? What'd you say?
Yes, I'm a Scorpio. Yes.
Yeah, you've never looked in like what defines you.
Apparently,
based on astrology, you've never done that.
I've never really looked into it like that. Apparently, I'm intense, but that's all I got for you.
Okay, all right. Let's go to Lonnie calling in from Harlem. Lonnie, welcome in.
Good afternoon, Anita, Harvey, Bill, Leo. Big shout out to the company. Of course, shout out to Scorpios too. John, please let's not commit pickleball suicide. I mean, come on, dog. The call was going fine until you started talking about I just tell him to pull the trigger. Like, I love this.
Yeah, yeah. It was a little intense. It was a little intense for me, Lonnie. I wasn't sure where that was going. I got a little nervous.
It got a little left. But, I just wanted to call him because you said something about Pickleball America. I went out there, like, I think last week to do a little recognizance.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Look at you, Lonnie.
I mean, yeah, I do what I have to do. I mean, obviously for the company and for the station as well, because I wanted to make sure that, you know, I just wanted to make sure that they knew that a bunch of people who was going to be there for the station was going to be coming too. So, and obviously check it out. And the place is actually very nice. It's very nice. Like, it almost made me want to get into pickleball. It has, like, I think 16 courts. It doesn't have two floors, but I think they might be working on another one. I'm not too sure. Also, shout out to Jack and Brett. That's the two guys I got to meet. They'll be the two people you'll be talking to tomorrow as well. I think tomorrow's going to be obviously a great day. You know who I'm picking, obviously, my guys, Dave and Rick. And I'm pretty sure you're going to be very surprised. I'm pretty sure you're going to be very surprised at how Dave looks. He looks absolutely great. Like, when I seen him Thursday, like, I actually had to tell him that like three times. Like, he lost some weight. I mean, all the starving he's been doing to himself, I guess it's really been working off. I mean, it has been working out for him. And also, Anita, just wanted to say happy belated birthday to you as well. I'm not sure if you've seen the post and everything, but I made sure to tag you on some stuff. And I also took pictures of Pickleball America, and I've tagged you in those things as well. I don't know if you've seen that, but I'll try to re-put it out now, and hopefully Joe Leo and Harvey can forward that to you. So I'll see you tomorrow, and have a great show.
Fantastic, Lenny. Thank you. How about that, guys? Talk about how serious the company is that he went out there to check out the venue for Rick and Dave. That's intense, man.
Yeah, you would have thought he was playing tomorrow.
That's intense. Let's go to Hector in Queens. Hector, welcome in.
Hey, Anita. I just want to wish you the best. I hope you beat them. And I don't know what they're talking about them where it's weight. I saw a picture posted where they're Republicans. That guy could have double deep, you know what I'm saying? Chest, if it's the correct term. He doesn't look great. I mean, he loses 5 pounds and he celebrates. I don't know. I think you guys are going to kill them. I think, and also I want to shout out the Knicks. Oh, man, I'm so excited about the Knicks. And anyways, I just wanted to call. Wish you the best, Anita. You're one of my favorites, and let's go. I'll see you later.
Appreciate it, Hector. Thank you. All right. Really, really excited about the match. Again, really excited for folks that are going to be heading out. Weather conditions are going to be horrible tomorrow. So anything that you planned outside, scratch it. Get in your car. Get on a train. Head out to Stamford, Connecticut, and come hang out with us. It's going to be a fun time. Quick break. We come back. Tommy Beer is going to join us. Let's do a deep dive into the Knicks. The 76ers in the rear view mirror. What is ahead? The Pacers. If you go on ESPN.com, everyone and their grandmother who covers the NBA for ESPN has the Knicks winning. Every single one. Stephen A. Smith, Bobby Marks, Woj, you name it. Winnie, everybody has the Knicks winning. Some of Knicks in 5, Knicks in 6, Knicks in 7, but everybody has the Knicks winning. Is that the kiss of death? Is that the kiss of death? I have the Knicks winning, but I would not be shocked if this series goes the distance.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Tommy Beard now joins us, author of What's on Tap, covers the Knicks, does a phenomenal job. Tommy, always great when you're on with us. Let's look back before we look forward. There were quite a few people that had some concerns, thought maybe the 76ers were going to be able to win at home and then come back and possibly upset the Knicks in this series at the Garden. I didn't believe that that was the case, but some people did. Were you concerned in that 76ers series?
Yeah, I think you had to be a little bit concerned, obviously, especially with the way Game 5 ended. It takes a mentally, really mentally tough team to come back, bounce back from those gut, you know, there are gut punch losses, and then there are gut punch losses, and that Maxi Miracle at the end of Game 5 was one such game. That being said, I'm with you. I thought they would find a way to win the series, whether that was in Game 6, whether that was in Game 7. If you followed this team, basically since Brunson arrived, and he brought his buddy Josh Hart, and then he brought his other buddy Dante DiVincenzo, and obviously, you know, Tibbs and the trades for OG and the rest, this team inspires confidence, which is something we haven't been able to say about a Knicks team, for the better part of this century. And this is obviously the first time that they've advanced to the second round 2 years in a row, since 1999, 2000. And it's no coincidence that that these last 2 years have been the first 2 years with Jalen Brunson during that time span. So, yes, listen, give the Sixers a lot of credit. I think obviously they weren't your typical seven seed. I think you could make a strong argument that they are the third best team in the Eastern Conference, you know, with the Bucks dealing with the injuries that they had. So had the Sixers played anybody other than Boston or New York, I think they probably would have advanced. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. Knicks did what they had to do, and we move on.
Now, listen, folks, the 76ers, I was watching SportsCenter today. They've got about $70 million in cap space, right? Heading into next year. And they've got, what, six or seven first-round draft picks? So this is a 76ers team that's not going away. Keep that in mind. Now, of course, this Knicks team moves on to the Pacers, where, really, this is a team, one of the best offenses, if not best offense in the NBA. All they do is play a very fast second, fastest pace of play in the NBA, and they score a lot of points. Break this down for us. Give us the matchup here and, you know, pros, cons in regard to what the Knicks are up against.
Yeah, you mentioned it right off the bat. That's kind of the main storyline here is the pace of play. Especially we know the Knicks are essentially played a seven-man rotation for the better part of the series once Bogdan Bojanovic went down with his unfortunate injuries. Even if the Knicks weren't shorthanded, even if they weren't exhausted after a grueling war that they just went through, the Pacers would try to turn it into a track meet. So they'll even try to turn up the speed a little bit more and do their best to wear down the Knicks. To their credit, the Knicks have done a nice job in transition over the first round. They got plenty of easy buckets without Philadelphia, you know, having the ability to kind of set up their offense. Credit to Josh Hart, who incredibly averaged over 13 rebounds a game in the first round. He pushed the ball anytime he got a defensive rebound and got into transition. The Knicks will try to do that often, obviously when they get they prefer a game more in the half court. In terms of individual matchups, obviously the point guards are going to generate a lot of the headlines. You have Jalen Brunson coming off what is a historic, quite literally, an historic first-round series, first player in NBA history to score 39-plus points in four straight playoff games from some guy named Michael Jordan. We know how well he played. On the other end of the spectrum, you got Tyrese Halliburton. He's kind of the engine that drives the Pacers' offense. Important to note, however, that he's really struggled with his shot basically since the All-Star break. Some funky stuff has been going on out there in Indiana, whether it's his confidence, whether it's his mechanics, which have kind of always been flawed. He's shooting below 30% from three-point territory over the final 25 games of the regular season, shot below 30% from three-point territory in the first round, shot below 45% from the floor. Still going to dish the ball, find ways to contribute defensively on the glass. He'll chip in, but it'll be very interesting to see if he can't relocate his shot. That's a big advantage for the Knicks. The other, kind of headline in terms of individual matchups will be OG Anunoby against his old teammate Pascal Siakam. Pacers made a great trade at the deadline, bringing in Siakam. He's been fantastic for them down the stretch, and as well in their first round victory over the shorthanded and injury depleted Bucks. The Knicks, however, have the ultimate 3-and-D stopper, OG Anunoby. We saw him kind of shuffle between Maxey and Embiid and Tobias Harris, lock him up. So we know that the versatility there, but his primary focus, he may, you know, switch on to Halliburton for minutes here and there. But his focus and Tibbs, they're going to need to slow down Pascal Siakam to win the series, and that'll be OG's responsibility.
Again, Tommy Beer joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, previewing the Knicks-Pacers series that kicks off on Monday night. If you're heading to the Garden, oh boy, am I jelly. This is going to be a great series. A few things I want to dive into, it's conversational pieces that I've had with a few of my friends. And that one is on Brunson, right? It's interesting to me that, like, there are still people out there, even Knicks fans, who don't look at Brunson as a legit alpha number one player on a roster. I have friends that are huge Knicks fans who feel like, you know, he's like a 1B or a 2, you know, and then, you know, it's kind of like, well, if he was with Dallas, he'd be Luka's 2, you know, the only reason that he's the one here is because Julius Randle is injured. And I'm like, well, even if Julius Randle wasn't injured, to me, he's still a one. Like, why do you think the narrative is out there that, and I'm sure that's even a larger percentage outside of the tri-state area, right, yeah. Tommy? Like, yeah. why is there a perception out there that Brunson isn't an alpha, a one on an NBA roster?
Anita, I don't know what this man has to do for how long he has to do it before people start believing. I mean, I guess we'll just, you know, the only assumption I'll go with is that, you know, he's 6'2", he's not that fast, he's not that strong, he was a second-round pick. But again, at some point, you have to kind of overcome these preset, you know, judging a book by its cover stuff we have in our mind. You know, he finally hasn't had an opportunity. Obviously, he was drafted the same draft as Luka, played in Doncic's shadow until the second half of the season, his final year there in Dallas when he averaged 20-plus points per game. And then in the playoffs, essentially broke up the entire Utah Jazz franchise by dominating Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and company. The Knicks signed him. He played terrific in his first season, has somehow been even – and played terrific in the postseason, has somehow been even better this regular season. And now over the last four playoff games you just saw, this dude averaged 42 points, 10 assists on 50% shooting. That's not 1B. That's not very pretty good, you know, for a short guy. Like, no, that is 1A alpha superstar. You know, the Knicks finally, you know, we didn't get it the way we expected. You know, they didn't have to spend $200 million and make a promo video with the Sopranos and all types of trades to bring, but the Knicks got their superstar. And he's one of the 10 best players in the NBA. However you want to play, he's going to make one of, he should make one of the, you know, if not the first team All-NBA, second team All-NBA this season. He's been even better in the postseason. He's been efficient, involves his teammates. And the fact that he's doing this, you know, with essential role players speaks to, you know, his ability. Again, I said during the start of the season for all the folks that had these takes that he's not that, you know, that he's pretty good but not great, that he's not a super. You remember when he first came here, the argument was, can he be a starter in the NBA? Is he worth starting caliber? You know, then we move the goalposts. Then is he an all-star? Then he made the all-star team. Then we move the goalposts. Is he first-team All-NBA or MVP caliber? And he keeps checking boxes, and he's going to keep saying the right things. Reminds me so much of Jeter in that respect. Never is boastful, never gives the other team ammunition, always says the right thing, the humble thing. Knicks fans, be happy that you know what we're witnessing, and don't take it for granted because we may not see it again for a very long time.
It's really, really remarkable, even to the point where, like, I've taken the discussion, like, well, if the Knicks had Kyrie – and Brunson was still in Dallas, do you think that the Knicks would have beaten the 76ers? I don't even know if they would have made it into the top six. I think they possibly would have been in the play-in, and I don't even know if they get it out of the play-in. And listen, Kyrie has been good with Dallas this postseason. Obviously, they take care of the Clippers. They won last night 114-101 to now, of course, advance. But again, I just the I'll call it disrespect. It blows me away. I don't get it. With that being said, before we let you go, let's even do a deeper dive in regard to this team, right? Brunson has been amazing, but we really didn't, you know, we saw the role players step up against the 76ers to a level which helped them win. But man, they were teetering, right? It wasn't their best stuff. You know, talk about this team and the effort that you saw from the bench, or lack thereof, or the effort outside of McBride. You know, the effort that you saw from the other players, is, do you feel that that's going to suffice and at least get them over the Pacers bump in the road?
Yeah, so I do expect them to beat the Pacers. I think people are underrating the Pacers a little bit coming into the series. I think it might take six games, you know, maybe even seven going back to the Garden. But you mentioned the ability and effort, and that is a tangible result. You know, listen, you know, I think it's similar to the Brunson in the fact that, you know, these guys haven't been superstars. They weren't, you know, even though they played really well in college, they kind of came into the NBA as defensive-minded players. I'm talking Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo. Amazingly, the Knicks don't have a single player has played a minute yet for the Knicks this postseason that was drafted in the lottery or the top 15 of the NBA draft. You know, Dante DiVincenzo at 17 is the highest. You know, Brunson, obviously, second-round pick. Josh Hart, last pick, second round. And you talk about – and there's so many other teams, you know, just kind of circling back to this idea of what our eyes tell us. The big three in Phoenix, how many games did they win in the playoffs? Zero. The big three out in L.A. with Kawhi and Paul George and James Hart, they're out of the playoffs. The big three in Milwaukee. You know, the Warriors didn't even make the playoffs. There's all this talent accumulation. The Knicks have done a good job of finding their superstar and then surrounding him with complementary pieces. Josh Hart led the NBA playoffs in fourth quarter rebounds. That man plays at one speed, 100 miles per hour. Will he eventually slow down? Maybe. I think it is important for the Knicks to limit their minutes a little bit here going forward. That's why it's going to be important. You know, obviously without Bogdanovich hurts, but maybe Burks gets some minutes. We're going to see a lot more Precious Achiuwa. Tibbs, as much as he would like, cannot play seven guys for 2 months and expect to win an NBA championship. And make no mistake, that's the goal and that's the expectation inside that locker room now. All bets are off. We're here. We belong. Let's make a championship run. In order to do that, he needs to. You know, the Celtics are going to take their time with Porzingis, who's dealing with that calf injury. He's not going to see the floor in the second quarter, in the second round, because they know they can advance without him. The Knicks need to take that approach a little bit. Without the, obviously, they're not going to take the any wins for granted. They're not going to overlook the Pacers, but they need to limit the minutes of these guys in this series to give the Celtics, who they're going to eventually face if they win this series, a run in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right, before we let you go, let's look big picture. Later on tonight, the T-Wolves and the Nuggets, that series begins. I have the Nuggets in seven. A lot of people think the Timberwolves are going to win this series. What side are you on?
I'm with you, Anita. I think the Nuggets are just too good for a young Timberwolves team that is obviously on the rise. But I do think the Nuggets are going to win the championship. They're just too – assuming Jamal Murray's healthy, he's dealing with some leg injuries. You know, Jokic's best player on the planet by far. He's just too much to deal with. I don't think the Timberwolves can handle Jokic.
On Sunday, 1 o'clock, Magic and Cavs, Game 7. The home team has won this series. Magic, of course, winning last night. So, therefore, one would say, well, the Cavs are going to win, but there's something – I think magical about this Magic team. I think the Magic are going to win on the Cavs court. Am I wrong here?
I'm going with the Cavs. You know, a home court advantage in a game seven is huge. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell coming off a 50-point game. Game seven, you know, playoffs are one thing. Game seven's another experience. First game seven, obviously, for Wagner and Banchero and Suggs. Suggs has obviously a big game experience at Gonzaga. But, again, a total respect for the Magic. Love the way they play, love the way they're coached. They're going to give it a run, but I'm going to go with the experience of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. And this is really, you know, a referendum game. If the Cavs lose this game and bow out in the first round to a young Magic team, you know, does Mitchell demand a trade? This is a must-win of must-wins, obviously, not even just because it's do or die for Cleveland.
And then, of course, the Celtics sitting there and waiting for the winner, as you said. KP more than likely not going to play in this series. And then, of course, because the Mavs won, they now take on the Thunder. I love the way that the Mavs came into the postseason. I felt like they were playing their best basketball. Luka has just been unstoppable, and he looked like vintage Luka in Game 5 and, of course, carried over into Game 6. Your thoughts on this series? I think this is going to be a real fun one to watch. I feel like any team could win, but my gut is telling me the Mavericks. What say you?
I got the Thunder in seven. I like you, I really am looking forward to the series. I think this is going to be, you know, the first time the Thunder kind of are still under the radar, despite finishing with the best record in the Western Conference, despite getting number one seed, despite, you know, just blowing out opponents left and right. I think, you know, this is the first time the country is going to get a real close look at not only Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but Jalen Williams, his sidekick, who's incredible. You know, already one of the best two-way players in the NBA. Chet Holmgren's, you know, really, really impressive, well-coached team. And home court advantage, obviously, I think will play a major key. I don't like betting against Luka Doncic, but, you know, he looked great in the closeout game against the Clippers, but that knee is still kind of give and go. I'm not a Kyrie Irving believer, so, you know, he stayed out of trouble and played well this season. But, all things considered, I think that the Thunder just have a better all-around team, better depth. They'll do what it takes to get by Dallas.
And with that being said, Tommy, who you got winning this whole damn thing?
I got the Nuggets. I just think Jokic is too good. Until I see somebody beat Jokic, you know, four games out of seven, and Jamal Murray, you know, him and Jamal Murray, the two, you know, the best 1-2 combo, in my opinion, in the playoffs, especially when their play and production and efficiency rises to a spectacular level. Great role pieces in Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon, championship experience, Michael Malone, New York guy, on the sidelines. Just too much to overcome, in my opinion.
Tommy, let the folks know where they can find you, all your work, all the good stuff.
At Tommy Beer on Twitter/X, and What's on Tap is my newsletter. You can find all that information in my bio on Twitter.
Fantastic. Tommy, always great having you on. Love talking basketball with you, my friend. Enjoy your weekend.
My pleasure, Nita. Have a great weekend.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Go to Dave in the car. Dave, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing? Your guy who screens the calls gave me such a tough time. My God. No, I do not think. I'm a huge Knicks fan since back in the Frazier Monroe days. I'm 61. I just sound younger. But no, I don't think he's a number one at all. Not even close.
I don't want to, Dave, it's not an argument. I'm curious because there are a lot of people who feel the way that you do. So I'm just curious, why don't you look at Brunson as if he could be a one? A, you don't think he's a one on the Knicks.
Because I won't go with the big players. I was talking about Bernard King, Ewing. He's not even close. But he's not even close to Allen Iverson. He's not even close to Isaiah Thomas. You want me to keep naming players? I could just name 50 off the top of my head. What I've been going on the computer. He's a good player. He's a good, solid player. I say he's a star. That's it. There's a difference between a star and a superstar. A difference between a one and a two. He's not a one. What's all everybody have in common? Embiid, nobody knows if he's 65% healthy, 70%. If he's 100% healthy, Knicks don't win. Let me ask you this, Dave.
You think Donovan Mitchell's a one? You think Donovan Mitchell's a one?
No, I don't. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's one either. I think Allen Iverson's a one. If you don't think he's a one,
Allen Iverson's probably one of my favorite basketball players ever.
I'd say Thomas is a one. He's 6'1". He's way better, 5 billion times better than Brunson. Not even close. It's insanity. You think Brunson is close to Isaiah Thomas?
What about Kyrie Irving?
You got to deal with a lot of craziness. I wouldn't want Kyrie. Kyrie Irving's a much better player than Brunson, but I would rather have Brunson. So I don't want to deal with Kyrie Irving's craziness. So I just couldn't deal with it. I'd rather have Brunson.
But that's not my question.
Talent-wise, if you're asking who's a better player, Kyrie Irving.
Wow. All right, Dave. Thanks for the phone call. A lot of people feel this. A lot of people feel the way he does. A lot of times, you know, we saw Brunson come here from Dallas as Luka's sidekick. So is it hard to just kick that perception? Could that be it? This guy is, especially in the postseason, without Julius Randle and the slew of injuries that this Knicks team has experienced, has just willed this team to beat the 76ers. You know, and the 76ers, it looked for a minute there, right? It looked like the 76ers defensively had his number, and then he adjusted and came out with two more games of putting up 40 points, if not more. Let's go to Rob in the car. Rob, welcome in.
Yeah, I don't understand how anyone could not call Brunson a one. I mean, is he one of the top 20 players in the NBA? Absolutely. Has he carried the Knicks on his back this postseason, both scoring at key moments and setting up his teammates for easy shots? Absolutely. I think the same people who are saying he's not a one are somehow in their mind thinking that we got to get rid of Randle and get someone for him to be a 2-2. And yeah, if we can get one of the top two or three players in the NBA, we got to look in the NBA. We got to look at that. But that then we've got 2-1s, and that's a great situation to be in. I think I'd love to see him playing together with Randle and both of them playing like ones. And that's a question not for who we think is a one or not, but how they get along together and the team chemistry next season. Interested to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, listen, and Rob, thanks for the phone call. I'm one of the smaller percentage of people who do believe Brunson's a one. I'll go one step further. I think the Knicks missing out on Donovan Mitchell was a blessing in disguise. You know, I'm a true believer, especially in my career, one door closes, a window opens. And when that door closes, you know, you can't help but be angry, frustrated. Why didn't I get that job? Why didn't I get that opportunity? Why can't that be me? And then all of a sudden, a week later, a month later, 6 months later, could happen in a relationship, right? You're madly in love with some guy, some gal, and they just, it's not reciprocal, right? And then you're like, well, this sucks. Like, you know, this very well could be the love of my life, and this person doesn't fancy me. And you miss out on that. And then like a month later, 3 months later, 6 months later, a year later, you know, you just happen to meet your soulmate. I'm a true believer in that. The things happen for a reason. And so people aren't meant to be in your life, or job opportunities weren't meant for you to attain because there's a different plan for you and you don't see it right now, but it's a better plan. That's kind of how I look at, you know, Donovan Mitchell not coming to the Knicks and the Knicks getting Jalen Brunson. If you recall, and I was hosting Sports Talk Radio at that time, oh boy, oh, this sucks. We really missed out. How can the Knicks not get Donovan Mitchell? Now it's like, oh, okay, we have to just settle for Brunson. I beg to differ. And it's easier now, right? That how we've kind of seen this play out. But I think it was a blessing in disguise. I love Brunson here. I love him being the face of this franchise. And I do believe he's a one.